it's always been. We rise up to the challenge, we give the game our all. With sheer determination, we go in for the ball. For the Cloud Thunders, go Cats, we break the banner down. We know they'll play with courage till the final siren sounds. And the rival team will know that they've been run down by a pack. But you're eaten by, beaten by, defeated by the Cats. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast post round one. Ben Casanelia with you. I am front and square, and a man who's never front and square likes to just lurk, been done for loitering a couple of times, K-Rock's number one caller, Tom King. Kingy, I think most of us went into that game last week thinking the Cats were probably about 20 to 1 with four debutants, or six debutants, but four actual first gamers. They got the chockies.
They did, and they were very good in the way they went about it as well. You could see a notable shift in what they were trying to do with their game style, especially the pressure in the front half of the ground. And the likes of Atkins, Dalhouse, Rowan, Myers all brought what Chris Scott wanted them to bring, and as a result, they were able to get repeat forward 50 entries. Maybe didn't convert as well as they possibly should have. Patrick Dangerfield, I'm looking at you. But other than that, they were pretty good. I think Collingwood were off, and there is something to be said. And I think Lee Brown might have brought it up in the broadcast. There is something to be said for the teams that have got a couple of weeks ahead in preparation on their opposition. And Collingwood went all the way to the grand final. Cats were knocked out first week of the finals and just look a bit more prepared. A couple of Collingwood guys that hadn't played any JLT football, where Geelong, I think everybody that had played a JLT game, if I'm not mistaken, in the Geelong squad.
Yes, they had.
Yeah, whereas Collingwood had a couple that hadn't played.
Yeah, that helps.
At an AFL level, and it showed in those guys.
Mind you, the year before, Collingwood West Coast were coming off pretty average years. Both lost round one.
Hmm.
So, I don't know, maybe we read too much into the fact the team that has slightly more training under their belt. What I liked from the Cats was the fact that it was a four-quarter effort. Win, lose or draw, they were in it for four quarters. Their effort didn't fluctuate. There weren't periods of the game. Early on, they got opened up a little bit over the back, but that seemed to shore up reasonably quickly. And I just liked the fact that it was an uncharacteristic Geelong win.
Hmm.
In that it was a scrapping win. It was built on some sort of system, and that was pressure. It was built on having players in the right spots. It was built on not being opened up defensively. Yep. It was built on the midfield defending when they needed to. And it was built on the fact that they took their opportunities when they came. Collingwood probably had their chances to win. Degoe, you know, missed a few that, you know.
Well, they got a goal up off the back of that.
Yeah, and the handball over the top to Degoe probably in 3 weeks' time goes through for a goal.
Yep.
But look, Geelong were there. They took their chance, and I don't think I've seen an effort like that in terms of a scrappy win, a pressure win.
Mm.
And then, mate, we talked about it ad nauseum over the weekend, but their three leading tacklers, Dalhouse, Atkins, and the other one was Parfitt. They had I think they had 17 tackles between them, those three players. So it wasn't built on Dangerfield starring. He played well, but he certainly didn't dominate the show. Selwood played well, didn't dominate the show. Hawkins was quiet, but still chipped in with a couple. Yep. Radaglia was really quiet, but a couple of contests late, created a goal.
In a month, Radaglia can put a month of football together uninhibited. We're going to find out in about 5 weeks' time how good he can be.
Well, he's still only young, though. I mean, he's only played 9 games, so we don't want to sort of lump him with 62 kilos top weight style now. We want to just get him in with 52 in the handicaps through his grades, and then when we hit the open handicaps, we can unleash him. But he's going to have some games where
we don't want him over the sticks yet.
Oh, goodness, no. If you once you're over the toes of road double, particularly when that horse went into the housing estate there at the back of Warrnambool, was quite extraordinary. But, I know... In the interview you did with Chris Scott, we played it during the pre-game on Friday night. It was a really good interview. Had some really good bits in it. One was he seems to have changed his tact a little bit with players and the way he talks about players. He was quite bullish about Radaglia. It wasn't let's temper our expectations.
Yep.
He said, just throw it out there, see how good he can be.
Yep.
Which is not. Forgive me if I'm mistaken, but that hasn't really been Chris Scott's MO.
No.
No, there was another play I'm trying to think too, where he was talking about on the Saturday post the win, and he said, yeah, basically gloves off. He's we'll see how good he can be.
Yeah.
It's been the only one he's talking down or looking to talk down a little bit is Ablett, in terms of what games he plays, his impact, his role, his how much he gets paid. Or he seems to be talking him down. The rest of the group he's talking up, which I like. And
but he was open to Ablett playing on next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're never gonna you're not going to retire players before round one. You're not going to start saying this is his last year. So that's probably.
But he didn't even consider it. It was no. It was, Gary wants to play on, and Gary will play on.
Oh, I mean, and Ablett played with a bit of bubble and squeak on Friday night, didn't he?
Yeah, and you could tell when he kicked that goal. He kicked which was very similar to the goal he kicked in round one last year against Melbourne, almost the same spot. But just the way he celebrated it was like to say, I'm up for the challenge here.
His arousal levels were through the roof.
You've moved me. You've taken some of the responsibility off me. I'm not the man at approaching 35, but I'm still going to have an impact. And when I do, you're going to know about it.
It was sort of like when Teddy Demmel have just pulled the deafeners on Paleface Adios. He just exploded.
Mm.
And look, he played with a bit of zest, which is what I liked. And, you know, Selwood did too. And it was a good night for the Cats.
An uninhibited Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah, he looked good and could have probably finished his work a little bit better.
Where can I get on Tim Kelly for the Brownlow?
Yeah, well, I don't know that he'll win the Brownlow, but he's played well.
You got three votes.
His first and last quarters were outstanding. He sort of
give me a reason
went
why
a little AWOL.
Give me a reason
middle.
Why he can't win the Brownlow.
Oh, I don't know. I can give you. He's playing with Dangerfield.
I'll give you one reason.
He's going to get plenty of votes.
I'll give you one reason why he can.
Why?
Because he's now front and centre in the public eye. He's going to be spoken about all season long about what is Tim Kelly. We know he's out of contract at the end of the year. Where's he going to be in 2020? Umpires read papers. And they'll just... Yeah. No, and they will see... And he, do you know what? And he plays a style of footy that is...
You notice him.
Is appealing.
Yeah. Oh, look, he could. And Geelong would hope he could win the Brownlow because...
Geelong win enough games.
He's asking price at the end of the year.
Oh.
Someone's scrubbing out. They had the $6 under the cauliflower. They're replacing it with $8. So he's. I mean, yeah. Look, he was really, really good. He's funny. He has an ability to dominate a quarter, and then sort of go missing. You know, I mean, if you remember the first, I know it was only a JLT game, and he was horrendous in the first JLT game. He hardly could touch the ball
against West Coast.
Yeah, West Essendon, he really lifted. Then Friday night, his first quarter, I think he had 13 possessions. I think in the last quarter, he had 8. He only had 10 in between in the two quarters, in the second and third quarters.
But if you're getting 31 a game, you'll take
that. Oh, I'm not saying that, but he has an ability to really influence a quarter, and then, you know, you sort of, he does go missing. Can you, what the D's this week, and the D's last year should have beaten the Cats twice, and actually it was zipping too. It was quite extraordinary.
And if they win those, Geelong don't play finals last year.
Big lot of talk about how poor the D's were. Big Maxi Gord got
there.
Battered from pillar to post. Yeah, they were.
Will Geelong employ a similar tactic?
I wouldn't have thought.
No.
Because you're not going to, that same tactic's not going to work again.
No.
They're going to have to maybe target someone else.
Ken Hinckley's played the trump card on everybody else.
Well, I'd be staggered if Geelong decided to do that because Melbourne aren't going to fall for that tactic again. Geelong are going to have to beat them on their merits, and I guarantee Max Gorn will play well. Melbourne were interesting because they kicked the first three goals of that game and then were basically completely outplayed. Well, not completely outplayed, but pretty well outplayed for the remainder of the game by a young Port Adelaide side. So they'll be breathing fire. They come down here with, you know, Viney and Jones still potentially a bit underdone. Cats get a really good chance to go 2-0. Cam Guthrie come in? Yeah, Stephen May will help. Cam Guthrie come back for potentially Grime Myers, who was good but might head back to the VFL?
Yeah, so interesting. Is it Guthrie for O'Connor maybe? Or do you persist with O'Connor?
Well, it depends where you're going to play Cam Guthrie. If you're going to play him as sort of a backward or centre player, it's probably O'Connor. If you're going to play him forward of centre,
where is he going to be
it's
better
probably...
Value?
I always liked him in defence. I think he's one of Geelong's better one-on-one defenders.
Mm.
He keeps his feet. He's pretty strong in the
so
contest.
So who's his matchup potentially then?
At Melbourne?
Mm.
Well...
So you've got to sort of work out who goes to who. So
someone like a Fritsch?
Yes, or does a
Stuart... Or a Neil Bullen?
Stuart probably goes to Fritsch.
Yeah, or a Neil Bullen.
Who
was good?
Who goes to? Does Taylor go to Wiedemann?
Well, you'd think the experience, Wiedemann's.
And Blitzarves to McDonald.
It was described by Darren Buick on Saturday at K-Rock Football. He described Sam Wiedemann, who he coached at the Eastern Rangers, as an Adonis. Have you ever been described as an Adonis?
No, I haven't.
Love to be, though, wouldn't you?
You'd love to be. Everybody would love to be an Adonis.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, look, he's quite a mobile player. And if you recall back to the final last year, Wiedemann tore Geelong. Geelong, in the end, had two dut-duts at the end of that game. He tore them another one.
Petrarca, who's the matchup?
Yeah, well, he probably won't have a stinky one like he did last.
No, and that's what worries me, that somebody like a Petrarca...
Well, I'd say someone like a Jack Henry when he's forward.
Is he going to be big enough to go with him?
He's 190.
No, physically.
Oh, he's pretty big, Henry. More muscle than the old buffet, the seafood buffet. No, he's big enough. I think he'd be...
Does Stewart go to Petrarca?
Well, I think Stewart would like to run off a bit. So Henry can play that negating role when Petrarca's forward. When he goes in the midfield, he just becomes a midfielder and you've just got to account for him. I don't think you actually go to anybody.
Two ruckman?
For the Cats? No. Oh,
you just go Stanley.
Yeah, got to go Stanley again.
He did a good job on Gawn here.
Yeah, he did.
The Cats missed Stanley.
It's been a good start for Stanley. Two-year deal, you know. Some still questioning his form, getting the two-year deal.
You?
After six games. He was good. He's got to back it up. I mean, this is what he's...
That's about being AFL player.
He's been around long enough to back it up each week, not just go missing. So, pressure's on him. The fact he's playing Gawn probably is, I reckon, a help in that it keeps you a bit grounded. Mm. You've just sort of matched Grundy. Now you think, oh, God, you know, I'm not playing Straubs O'Dwyer. I'm playing Maxi Gawn. So... Yeah, it's probably good that just mental focus that he's playing, you know, the best ruckman in the comp, well, the two best ruckmen in the comp two weeks in a row.
Then he gets Jacobs.
Yeah, well, it doesn't end there, does it?
And then he gets Dawson Simpson.
Yeah, and then he'll get Mark Blake, round four.
Dawson Simpson actually played very well on the weekend.
Well, Dawson Simpson's a man mountain.
Yeah.
He's not the most mobile conveyance. You'd hope a big Reece could maybe run off. You got any questions for us, King?
I've got plenty of questions. Do we have
more questions than a
barrister in a legal proceeding?
Yep.
How does that work? Let's have a listen here. What have we got? Let's scroll down here. What have we got? Let's start with the Twitter questions. Let's start with Adrian Mancidi. Very noticeable team spirit Friday night. Did the personnel or a tweak to system make us better around the ball?
Yeah, certainly did. I mean, the other thing I liked was everybody bought into it. It wasn't just some players. It was, you know, even Ablett was sort of manic with his pressure, which is not normally his go. Everybody bought into what they were trying to do.
How good was it when Tom Atkins' eyes, it just happened below us under our Warrilili best seats in the house, broadcast position. There was a contest and you could just see Tom Atkins' eyes light up. I don't know who the Collingwood player was, but he said, mate, I'm just about to mow you down. And he did. And I don't think he won a free kick, but he got a stoppage and you just go, that's why Tom Atkins should have been drafted 12 months ago.
Yeah, look, he certainly played his role and didn't star, but played a role. And the goal he set up to Selwood was at a critical juncture
in the
game.
The one-handed mark.
Like that word, juncture?
Juncture, yeah.
Ointment.
Ointment. Mick Howley. Albeit just the one game, does Jordan Clark make the club go back to drafting over free agency? Considering the last three drafts have given us Narkle, Parfitt, Radigalia, Constable, Myers, Jermaine Jones, Henry, all around the same age going forward.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about those. I'm not sure about that. What do you think?
No, you've got to have a mixture, I think. I think you've got to... Geelong are in a situation where they're going forward. They're going to have a mixture of good, you know, hopefully get something good in the draft, but they're going to have to also bring in established players from outside. I think that's just...
Is free agency going to make it easier or more difficult to win the premiership?
More difficult.
Because you're throwing your team around all the time.
Yep.
And I've made this point a couple of times that the last couple of premiership sides have predominantly played together a lot. They've only got a few ring-ins, not many ring-ins. Yeah. Geelong have got a lot of ring-ins.
And Richmond got their ring-ins. They built them up with Greig and Hooley. And
they'd been there. They weren't one-year ring-ins.
Yeah, the only ring-ins were really Prestia and Caddy.
That's it. The other guys had played a lot of footy together.
Yep.
Geelong are going the opposite, where they're throwing blokes together. Now, how does that work? I mean, even West Coast predominantly had a side of homegrowners.
Yep.
I mean, Josh Kennedy's been there for 1,000 years, basically West Coast player.
Yo and Redden and all that.
And they'd been there a couple of years. Yep. So I just wonder whether just changing your team all the time, whether while it looks good on paper, how does it translate? So I wonder whether it's actually, you know, the sides that are really up and about in free agency, Are they getting closer to a premiership? On paper, they are. How that translates in terms of gelling's another thing.
David Bennett, does Cam Guthrie come straight back into that midfield? It looked like he played a role there in pre-season, or does he go into the back line to replace O'Connor, who struggled on Friday? So the other ones we've got to factor in at some stage are Buse and Tui.
Well, they're not coming back this week.
No, they're not.
Cam Guthrie, I think, probably comes back in for Myers. That would be my only change. Not because Myers played poorly, but he'd be better for the experience. But you probably have a Cam Guthrie in there who can, you know, just has that experience and potentially the capacity to play some slightly more varied roles than Grime Myers.
I feel like a water. I don't know why, but Jared Reed has just lobbed on the Twitter. Need the 24 and 2 available. That's Buse and Tui. The 42 is a good Magoo's player only. My bowels begin to activate whenever the 42 gets near the agate. Do love the attitude of the 4. He's the classic backman's nightmare. Well, the 4 has been Gary Ablett Jr. Tui's definitely obviously in Geelong's best 22. Is Jed Buse in Geelong's best 22?
Right now?
Well, not right now because he's injured.
I think you could argue a case for it and argue a case against. Yep. I'd say he's certainly on the fringe.
Out of contract at the end of
the year. Yeah, so he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, he and Taylor unrestricted. The Cats are pretty quiet in that regard. The list came out yesterday. I don't think there was a restricted free agent on there for Geelong, was there?
The restricted free agent list was about 2 players, wasn't it?
Wasn't many on it. Derek Langan, after watching the Gazook rack up 23 touches and kick 2 sausage rolls against the 4 and 20s on Friday, will the big Tomahawk have to kick a few bags this year to be the Cats' leading goal kicker by season's end? And if so, how many snags can they kick between them? I reckon they will kick. We should have had a nearest the pin here. I reckon they will kick between them this year 85.
85 between them?
Yep.
I reckon you'd take that. I'd more than take that.
You get 60 from Hawk and a goal a game from G. Ablett Jr.
Yeah, I think the Cats would be basically nude with that.
Actually, talking about nude, Mick Howley, how impressed were you that the coach used the word nude in his presser?
Did he?
Was it in his presser or was it the day after on a rival radio station where they found...
Yeah.
He said he felt
nude.
And impotent.
Yeah. Wow. Not a state you really want to be, is it? Nude and impotent. One's okay. The other one's no good.
Ah, dear. Giggling like a couple of teenage boys here in the K-Rock HQ. I'm just trying to find the answer to some more questions here, more questions here. We've had a little bit going on the... let's have a little flick through here. We'll move on from there. I did have these. Here we go. Daz Broncos.
Oh, Daz.
Lovely to hear from. A great call and win on the weekend. Lots to improve on still for us, however. I hope he's not talking about the call. I reckon a decent amount of ointment and lubricant was applied to the vocal cords at the conclusion of that one. Benny loves a good vocal ointment.
I do. I love ointment.
With the Demons coming this week and seeing how Gorn looked a bit compromised this week after getting a bit of a physical working over, do we bring in Rabbit with Stanley to work him over and drop a very unlucky Sav, or do we go and change and hope that Sav and Stanley work Gorn over? Personally, I don't see Gorn having 2 games in a row.
Well, look... He's put together 7 good games, Reece Stanley. So why not? I mean, he seems to be playing with a bit more aggression and a bit more vigour and a bit more confidence, and he wants to be involved. You know, he took a nervous mark early in that game. Mm-hmm. The ball came to him and he was by himself and he sort of double grabbed it, and after that he was good.
Also, please sign the best wishes book for Scooter as you leave. Atkins has him covered by the length of the time between London fog starts. I can't see how he gets back in if Atkins does that every week. And with Scooter being 6 weeks out, Tommy has a time to have a bad game or two and get back into the groove. The effort was 110% for him all game long and he saw it out and it was pretty frenetic, albeit low-skilled, sloppy game. He did. Yeah, it's going to be tough for Scott Selwood.
It is.
Yeah.
Every
win Geelong has.
I said that.
While he's out.
He's sort of future at the club could dictate to how the Cats go.
Yep. Yep. Turbo Cat, regular question. It would seem to me the amount of young players we've now added to the side almost ties into the signing of Chris Scott to 2022. Maybe with that knowledge, we will have to be more aggressive with less turnover. They decided to give him extra time to reset the side. 1 week only, but I was impressed. How long can these young players keep the likes of Guthrie, Henderson and Buse out when they are fit and in form in the VFL? Well, Henderson's an interesting one.
Well, he wasn't even an emergency on Friday night.
No.
He was nowhere to be seen. He was in witness protection, literally. Yeah, look, the way the game's going, I don't know that you can play Henderson, Taylor and Blitzarves in the one side. And right now they obviously prefer Blitzarves and Taylor. That combination with, I mean, Henry and Colajasny are both 190 plus. So they have the capacity to play a little bit taller than they are and play the third tall role. There's just no role for... You've got Stewart, who's an intercept sort of player. Tui, when he comes back, is a similar type. I just don't see... I mean, barring injury, here is the potential Lockie Henderson spends the year playing the VFL.
Standout player Friday night was Tim Kelly. He immediately brought up the same sort of issues that have been mentioned since day one. My question is, just how hard do we go to keep him? Do we cash in our chips and offer him a huge contract of 800K plus, something West Coast could not match?
No. You don't go berserk on one player.
Or, if we cannot get Tim K to sign, then perhaps, given our current perceived penchant, there's a good word.
Well, that's good.
Penchant. For fresh-faced youth, should we do the deal?
Is that something
you
wear in the rain?
We can get and take them to the draft and perhaps try to trade for an immediate replacement of the 25-year-old mid, considering Kelly is almost our best mid. And obviously it would hurt if we lost him. For example, Geelong was mentioned as a possible destination for Darcy Parrish. 22 this year would seem a good ad if they could arrange it.
I can't believe that we're one round into the season. We're already talking about who might end up where. It's just the fixation with... Look, do you know what? I'm happy for Tim Kelly to go home. There's some things that are bigger than footy. And this is one of them. Like, Geelong fans just need to get a grip. I've heard people say, oh, let's get his mum and dad here. What? Like, we'll just uproot an entire family and get them to come and live at Armstrong Creek and do what all day? Like, they've got their lives in Perth. He has an extraordinary set of circumstances that go far beyond football.
Yep.
I'm 108% sure that he will be playing in WA next year, and it's just unfortunate for the Cats. What Geelong have to do is get the best possible deal for Tim Kelly, but I think it's futile trying to... I mean, I know Chris Scott was saying that he was very confident that Tim Kelly would be at Geelong next year. I don't think it's a Tim Kelly issue. It's a family issue. And when you're talking family, family comes first. Yep. Way above football. It's family here, daylight football.
Yep. Is Cam Guthrie a walk-up start this week? This is from You Pick One. Who would he replace? What position does he play? Well, we've sort of touched on that. I believe he's a walk-up. I think Cam Guthrie's a walk-up start.
Yeah, I think he wouldn't want to struggle, but I think at the moment, yeah, you're right, but he wouldn't want to have two or three games where he struggles.
Does Parsons have a spot in the team, or has he been relegated to the VFL?
No. I just...
Unless he's absolutely pulling games apart.
Let's put it this way. If Geelong are playing James Parsons, I reckon they're struggling.
Yep.
Things are going horribly wrong.
Cool Cat 75. In hindsight, do you think trading in Henderson for pick 17 was the correct move? Has been a serviceable player, but we brought him in when we already had Taylor Lonergan, and now Taylor Blitzarves and Colajasny as key backs.
Can you read that again?
In hindsight, do you think trading in Henderson for pick 17 was the correct move?
No, well, hindsight, no. Certainly wasn't. Given that Henry and Henry's developed and Colajasny is now sort of slowly establishing himself as a player, they probably could have done without the Henderson trade.
Although, as some people have pointed out, Blitz wasn't playing as a...
No, that's right. And I've been calling that for... we've been calling that for 1,000 years on Carrick to put Blitzars in defence. It finally happened. And now, unfortunately, The collateral damage of that is Lockie Henderson.
Mm. VFL this week plays Saturday morning against the Casey Demons.
So we'll know who's playing Kingy. You'll be all over that, won't you?
At Werribee. If I'm not, Meg Soltry will be for the Carrick football
any
website.
Any relation to Sandra?
No, Soltry, not Sully.
Oh, right.
Oh, you're talking about Sandra Soltry from one of the perceived comedy shows.
Yes.
Yeah, no relation. Spelled differently too, by the way.
Okay.
So, no, Meg's doing a wonderful job covering off on the VFL for carrockfootball.com.au.
Yes, that's magnificent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what happened at my house last night?
What happened at your house last night, Ben?
My wife said to me, can you pass me her lipstick, right? I accidentally passed her a glue stick. She's still not talking to me.
Well, I'll see you on the weekend.
Yeah. Thursday, we're going to be front and square, crumbing front and square at Collingwood v. the Tigers. Yes. And then I will see you again on Saturday for the Cats and the D, 6 o'clock, K-Rock style.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Hopefully have a maybe an injured cat on. I don't know. I've asked for an injured cat. And then on Sunday, we've got Hawthorn versus the Bulldogs, which should be an interesting game. Both 1-0.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Bulldogs were good. I thought Sydney might clean them up a bit, but they were really good. So, look, it's a massive week on K-Rock, and it's a massive week for the Cats. They've started well. And you know what? What was interesting too, Kingy, and I know it's been brought up in a few media outlets, but Chris Scott post-game was out and about amongst the players on the field, backslapping. And backslapping more players than just Joel Selwood and Patrick Dangerfield, which was, you know, great because we haven't seen that much. But he certainly was happy with the win, as you would be. But to be visibly out there with the playing group and getting around to the younger players, and I thought that was good. So we heard the CEO talk about his relationship building needed work with players. And I think that's an area that where there was, you know, plenty of work needed to be done. And maybe the first steps to that were you know, obviously across the pre-season, but then flowed on into Friday night. So it was good to see the coach doing that with the group who seemed to respond. And hopefully it's onwards and upwards. You'd love to see the Cats replicate the effort again on Saturday night.
Just very quickly, a bit of touch on the AFLW. Disappointing end of the season for the Geelong girls. First season made the conference B, or finished second in conference B, played conference A leaders Adelaide, got well beaten. Disappointing end of the season. Can only manage the one goal. They'd been pretty quiet up forward over the last 3 weeks, but plenty to build on for the future for the Geelong AFLW girls. Obviously, Nina Morrison was a massive blow. Her doing a knee between rounds one and two. Hopefully, she's okay for season 2020 and inject her into the Geelong midfield. They'll make some changes to the list and hopefully boost themselves up once again in 2020. So, well done to Hoodie and the girls.
Yeah, good year for the Cats, albeit, like you say, disappointing end.
See you on the weekend, Benny.
Yes, look forward to it. Go the Pussies.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.